A65. Number 14B.
We come to Christ, truth. Hear truth again on the level of divine science. It is a sense of oneness. Therefore, truth as oneness is actually the truth itself, as we have seen, the one truth, not the infinite truth, but the one truth, the being itself. See, to say to oneself, well, being itself is truth. It's not so much that we are interested about the truth about something, but being itself is of the nature of truth. That is the divine science level, which naturally gives us the sense that there exists in being an office called the Christ truth that does what? That says being itself affirms itself, claims itself, and you get now the tone of truth, huh? That it is self-affirming, self-claiming, that it says, I express myself by affirming myself, by claiming what I am, so that nothing else can be established. I establish myself, I'm self-establishing, self-expressing. Or you could say at that point that one truth says that being is aware of itself, that being is conscious of itself, and through that consciousness of itself always affirms and claims what it is. So you can you see that this must be a second step and not the first step, because first the word will say there is something, being is, but then there must come a second step of the Christ which says, and there is in being an office which takes that isness and says, I affirm that isness in every situation, I establish that isness, or I affirm and claim that isness so that nothing can go against it, that nothing can destroy it, that nothing can bring it to fall, that nothing can efface it, that nothing can mar it. So you need in being a faculty or an office where being says, I am that one which affirms what the word is. Yes? Or we come to the next one, to love. To love, or actually we come to Christianity in divine science, which John Dolan showed as the one love. And again, that one love naturally is accentuating a very specific aspect of love, not just any kind of an aspect. It accentuates really what? One of the highest sense of love really is always that in the oneness of being, that love says there is something in being, an office in being which shows that being is always at the point of expression, of being expressed, of being manifested. That's a terrific sense. Can you see that it is Christianity, the outcome, which says, all right, there is actually a coincidence of principle and idea. Therefore, there is never a principle without its idea, or there is never an idea without its principle. And love says, well, that's my nature. My nature is to show that being is not a hypothesis, that being is always then being when it is manifested as idea. That it is always but it is never without its object or manifestation. It's that close sense of never being without its manifestation. Can you see? Well, I guess it's very difficult to see it in a class where one has to take up so much, but when you take your pondering time, your quiet time, and think about love, you know, we all come out from a Christian background. And that Christian background talks all the time about love, because that's the highest commandment: love your enemies and love your love one another and so on. And it's all about love with a small L. But we mistake that as love with a capital L. And so, in a way, we have a hell of a time to get rid of that false sense of love as a capitalized term. We don't get rid of love one another and love your enemies as a love with a small L. That we don't have to get rid of. But we are speaking now in terms of God. And God doesn't love its enemies because God doesn't have enemies. See? God doesn't love one another because he doesn't have another. See, can you see that it's love one another and love your enemies, that's all right, but on the level of Christian Science. But when we are contemplating what is meant by God as love, we have difficulties if we are aware that we are thinking wrongly. If we are aware that we have a false sense of love, the first thing is to get aware that we have a false sense of love, God. Because we put it synonymous with love with a small L. Everybody talks about love. Well, you know, God is love. All right, so we love one another. You see that they go right from the level of science right down to metaphysics, to the level perhaps of Christian Science or even below. And are not aware that they miss the main thing, namely to understand what really love means. And love has nothing to do with that lovey-dovey sense. It is a very scientific concept, and that scientific concept wants to show, for the first time when you go through the synonymous term, you never had that, namely that coexistence of principle and idea. Not only as a coexistence, but that it is showing that being without its expression would be no being. That being without its manifestation would not be being. And only when we arrive at that point where we see that in being, being is always at the point of being manifested, that's love, with a capital L. That's love. Put it the other way around. How can I put it the other way around? You see, as long as we feel that we are working in metaphysics and try our best and try to reason things out metaphysically and with right ideas and so on, and still have a sense that God somehow must be brought out in life practice or must be demonstrated at the point of demonstration, we show that we have no sense of love. That we have missed the sense of love. That we have been thinking perhaps in terms of mind and spirit and soul and principle and life and truth, but not in terms of love. Because love itself says it is expressed. There is no possibility that the idea is not expressed. So as long as we think God is going to express the idea, we miss the term love. We They are up to perhaps to the term of truth, and they have seen the dominion of the idea over error, but we have not touched love. We have not touched the seventh day of creation. Where the seventh day of creation says, and the seventh day of creation, everything was fulfilled. Everything was fulfilled. The moment we still look for fulfillment, it is a sign that we have not understood the first thing about God as love. We can love our husband and our enemies as much as we like. That's not love with a capital L. That has nothing to do with the scientific sense of love itself. Love itself is that awareness, I would even say that constant awareness, that everything is already at the point of being fulfilled and not of fulfilling itself, of being fulfilled. It's a consciousness where we see that nothing has to be worked out. Do you see that? And it's always already at the point of being worked out. So if we are troubled about the world and want to save the world and are troubled about what's happened politically and in all ways and means in the world, we only show that we haven't the faintest sense of love. And if we love our enemies and our neighbor and our husband and our wife and our children and our friends and our I don't know whom you can love also, you see, it is not God love. God love is if we see that perfection is expressed. Love is never without its object or manifestation. Never without. That never without is love. Huh? If it's never without, it is always with. Always at the point of being manifested. Now, you can see how much it really takes to find that constant consciousness of love. Because humanly we constantly see that there is perfection somewhere up in heaven and it's possible and God is perfection, but we constantly talk about that perfection is not expressed and wonder how it could be expressed and what metaphysical tricks we have to apply in order that it will be expressed. But we always see that it is not expressed. Therefore we have fear. We wouldn't have fear if we would see love is expressed. That is the inner nature of being. Just always think that's the inner nature of being. This is not a trick. This is not trying to bring about something that God expresses itself in a complete manifestation. In divine science, you have that wonderful sense of love, that one love here, which says, I'm all in all. Didn't we have that as an idea? Huh? All in all. That means the all is expressed in the all. Huh? Love is expressed in its manifestation. And this needs a terrific discipline of culturing our consciousness. So that we always have a feeling whatever comes towards us and tries to be an enemy and tries to be a problem, a negative problem, tries to show that things go wrong, that it finds no place within our consciousness. Because within our consciousness we know, no, love is a quality of being, is an office in being, and that office in being says, no, God and his idea is one. God is expressed as idea, therefore is expressed, not will be expressed, not can. It's not a question of can be expressed, or might be expressed, or could be expressed. It is a question that it is expressed. Do we have that consciousness? So, can you see why, in a general way, I have not much left? for people who constantly talk about love with a small n. I just don't have it. I feel this is the easiest thing for the human mind to do. One just has to make up one's mind instead of hating or being jealous of people that one loves them. But that has nothing to do with love with a capital L. Nothing at all. It's child's play. It's just a matter of making a decision. From now on, I'm going to love everybody. That's the easiest thing you can do. If you pick up your socks and pull up your pants and say, all right, from now on, that I'm going to do. Instead of hating them and envying them, I'm just going to love them. Oh, so easy. But that's not love, capital L. Yeah? It needs more. And it isn't easy. It isn't easy because of our background, huh? Because of our conscious background that has been cultured over thousands and millions of years, and we are conditioned into seeing that perfection is not expressed, that is actually the problem of religion, that is the problem of philosophy all through the many thousand years. How can we have a state where perfection is expressed? What other is religion? In every religion. What is religion in any religion? Trying to be one with God. Trying to be the expression of God. Trying to be the full expression of God. It's all trying, trying, trying. Therefore it never happens. Because you go out from separation from God, therefore the basis is wrong, and therefore it never happens. So I think Mrs. Eddy has found here an aspect of love that has never really been brought out in the other religions. Yes. Then we come to the fourth, a wonderful combination that is called divine principle love. See, Mr. Dawley called it not just principle love, he called it divine principle love, and he was right to put it that way. I don't know if I have put the divine also on my chart, yes, because it indicates the difference between that principle which we had on the level of science itself, which is an infinite principle. It's not the divine principle on the level of science. It's not the divine principle. It's the infinite principle. Whereas here on the level of divine science, it's the divine principle because it depicts the nature, the divine nature of that principle. And that divine nature of that principle is love. See, whereas the infinite principle on the level of science itself is not specifically love. It has very little to do with love. It has to do with the infiniteness of principle, namely that principle is one principle, the principle of all principles, the principle of all sciences, that it is the infinite principle, namely that principle which can interpret itself infinitely, interprets itself through system and structure and matrix and infinitely. You see, the scientific sense comes out on the level of science itself. Here, in divine science, comes out the nature of that principle, which is always what we demonstrate, namely life, truth, and love. So here the accent lies in showing that principle, you see, it's a wonderful thing, you know. I can't help to say always it's a wonderful thing, because the synonymous terms are actually wonderful when one sees through them. You see, it shows here, divine principle, comma, love. Meaning, it is a principle of a divine nature. What is a divine nature? The divine nature is that God wants to bring us to a final goal. That God wants really to fulfill all in all. That the divine principle has a life goal. But it is what one calls teleological, huh? That it has a an aim in view, a purpose in view, a meaning in view, that it wants to bring out a divine sense. That, can you see that? Now, if you take, if you compare that with the principle which we had on the level of science itself, you see, there you didn't get that sense, that this infinite principle has a divine aim. It says, I'm the only principle that rules, but it hasn't said, for what purpose? For what purpose? For what aim? Well, purpose, aim, is symbolized through love. Because love says there is a plan, there is a purpose, there is a name, there is... Being makes sense. That's love, here. The moment you say that principle makes sense, makes a divine sense, then you have principle, comma, love. And that is what divine science brings out, because it says divine science is the atmosphere of God. You can touch, get the sense. Golly, that principle, which on the level of science itself gives us the one and only principle which we can apply and which is applicable in being, is on the level of divine science a principle that brings out a divine sense, a divine plan, a divine goal, has a high aim. What Diodorus Sharnov would call the point omega, that everything drives towards that point omega, which was a rendering which he would say, everything drives to a higher and higher and higher aim, and life makes sense. Isn't that beautiful? To think, therefore, if we think in these categories, that if our consciousness flows along the word of life, the Christ truth, Christianity love, that it says, for what purpose? Is there any sense in it? Is there any purpose in it? And it says, yes. Here we have to do with the science, we are at the fourth side. Here we have to do with a science which is quite unique, which differs from any other science in the world. Any other science has no purpose. Has no purpose. And always says a science must be objective, must just be right within itself. It must be consistent within itself. But there is no purpose in it, in a science. It isn't there that it brings out by itself, through its own operation, a high goal. You know that? You study chemistry, what can you do with chemistry? You can kill people and you can heal people. You study physics, what can you do with physics? You can kill people or you can help people. You study biology, what can you do with it? You can kill them or you can help them. You study psychology, what can you do with it? You can kill them or you can help them. In every science, science is aimless. It's not goal-directed. It's not goal-directed. The only science that is goal-directed, has purpose, has sense, is divine science. That's why it is a category all by itself. It is not just another science. It is a category all by itself, completely new. And you know what happens today in the world when we are interested to see a little bit what change goes on in the philosophy of science. You begin to realize that for the first time in the last, I would say since the atom bomb, little by little, that sense, what science must be, begins to change for the first time in human history. Up to that point, one had really, the theory was always that science must be purposeless. It is left to the politician or to the manager of a factory to say what to do with the science. But science itself, the science text, the textbook of science, they are not concerned what you do with it, if you use it to kill people or not. And little by little now, since we had all the bad side effects of nuclear physics, the bad side effects of biology, the bad science effects of chemistry, of environmental science and so on, people begin to see that we don't have the right concept of science, that science must be redefined, and that it must be redefined so that it only serves a good purpose, a positive purpose, a high purpose, or whatever it is. And that's very difficult.
There's an article in Time magazine, I was coming over here, and they were saying in Germany they're having tremendous difficulty getting people to go into high technology jobs.
Yes.
Because of the tremendous disillusionment that they've
yes. had. Yes, that's true. That's true. The registration at the university go back very, very much in the natural sciences. And they go up in the humanistic sciences. Because the young people say, hell with natural science, where has it led us to? Yes?
It's also a function of the almost dyslexia with regard to the operation of science. The education systems have broken down to such a point, at least in this country, where the kids can't learn how to do the disciplines involved in the science
yes.
as well. I mean, it's a combination of probably both of those.
Yeah. I have heard that also while I'm over here, that the question of is the educational system of the university or the educational system at all, is it right? That is very much doubted. Yeah. So can you see what we are engaged in? That's why we feel we are in the forefront of scientists, though we are not many mighties, but the idea is big. And we see that Mrs. Edith, as the first one, has taken on her just to pioneer and say, a science is only a science when it is of the nature of love, capital N. Isn't that terrific? Think how long it will take until the world accepts this proposition. But it is on the way. Alone the fact that they say we must redefine science, what they say more in a humanistic way, but what they really mean, that science is only then science when it helps people. Huh? Okay.